Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Right here on Bulldog Live at 1-866-823-1077. Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop and Hooks It. Second Amendment Tuesday is coming up next here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Again, Riley Sports Shop sponsoring Second Amendment Tuesdays right here with attorney Penny Dean at Riley Sports Shop, located on the Hooksett Road in Hooksett. And you can find them online at rileysguns.com. Good morning, Penny. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm having a blast. I just got done with a nice conversation with the Speaker of the House, Bill O'Brien, talking about tomorrow's session.
Oh, wow.
Yep. But I don't think there's going to be any veto overrides tomorrow, so.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of what I got out of the conversation. This is more of a continuation of the session that ended in June. They adjourned rather than recess, so this is to take care of some unfinished business, shall we say.
Oh, wow.
Yep, with specifically four pieces of legislation, as well as dealing with some emergency funding issues as relates to...
Oh, sorry. Are any of those four pieces of legislation relating to firearms that we should know about?
No, they're not.
Oh.
Nope, sorry.
Well, I just thought maybe you had the inside scoop and I didn't want to miss anything.
Nope. So, but they will be having a session again in October, and I can't remember the date. I think it was October 12th that the speaker said, I think, but I have to go back and listen to the recording of it. So maybe then we'll have veto day. I don't know.
You know, well, by golly, we better have one soon, because SB 88, you know, will be coming down the pike someday.
Well,
right?
That's why I brought this up early in the conversation, because a lot of people are already wondering.
Yeah. You know how it is. We always want to know, because I wanted to talk today about, there's a lot of what I call misperceptions about how protective the law is. Or how protective, in my mind, the law isn't.
Okay.
And a lot of people think, well, if I call the police, they're going to come and they're going to save me. And the answer is maybe Mighty Dog would do that, and maybe Superman would do that with his bionic ears or whatever. But if you're thinking the police, they may or may not help you. They may or not be able to get there in time. There's just a lot of maybes.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to look at, there are some very famous cases out there. Because people always think, well, you know, of course they're going to protect us, but also if they don't protect us, there will be legal ramifications. And my very sad news to you, because my job is always to deliver the voice of reality to firearm owners, not what they want to hear, but what reality is,
uh-huh.
Is that the courts have always said that the police department have absolutely no individual duty to protect individual citizens. And what that means as a practical matter, the most famous seminal case is from 1981, and it's called Warren v. District of Columbia. And in this case, there were two women upstairs in a townhouse when they heard their roommate, a third woman, being attacked downstairs by intruders. They phoned the police several times and were assured each time the officers were on the way. After about 30 minutes, when their roommate's screams had stopped, they assumed the police had finally arrived. Note they don't go downstairs to help their roommate, right?
Right.
When the two women went downstairs, they saw, in fact, the police never came, but the intruders were still there.
Oh, boy.
And for the next 14 hours, think about how long 14 hours is in this situation. The women were held captive. They were raped. They were robbed. They were beaten. They were forced to commit sexual acts upon each other and made to submit to the sexual demands of their attackers. Now, the women sued the District of Columbia for failing to protect them. And they said, look, we were on the phone several times with police, and we were assured by the dispatchers, hey, they're coming to help you. You know, Mighty Mouse is coming. And the court said it's a fundamental principle of American law that a government and its agents are under no general duty to provide public services, such as police protection, to any individual citizen.
Mm.
And think about what that means. That's huge.
Well, this is huge. I mean, I've heard this many times over the last few years, unsure of the case law that you're citing right here, Warren versus District of Columbia. And, well, continue.
Well, since then, of course, there have been many, many more cases. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. if you think they get better, they're not. They got worse.
Oh, boy.
And those cases that came forward, okay, there's a very famous case. It's called the Cheney v. Winnebago County Department of Social Services. That's a United States Supreme Court case, and it was decided in 1989. And basically, there was an injured party, a boy, who was beaten and permanently injured by his father. And local officials knew about it. They failed, according to this, remove him from the father's home and basically to protect anyone. And the bottom line was the court said that no duty arose because of a special relationship, concluding that the constitutional duties of care and protection only exist as to certain individuals, such as incarcerated prisoners, involuntarily committed mental patients, and others restrained against their will, and therefore unable to protect themselves. Now, weren't the women in D.C. restrained against their will and unable to protect themselves?
Yes.
You might want to tell the court that, because the court didn't understand that part.
Oh.
You know, this is the Supreme Court, and clearly, it doesn't matter. And this is a case, the affirmative duty to protect arises not from the state's knowledge of the individual's predicament or from its expressions of intent to help him, but from the limitation which it has imposed upon his freedom to act on his own behalf.
Ooh.
Now, this is where white is black and black is white, and don't bother, you know, telling me the man and woman in a black robe about that.
Well, can I ask you one question about that? But from the limitation which it is imposed on his freedom to act on his own behalf, we're talking about freedom, but may I add the right to act on your own behalf?
That's exactly, you are reading my mind.
Okay, good.
You're reading, and you're exactly right, because what the state does, if you take people like me that don't want to get arrested and don't want to go to jail, I purposely avoid states that I can't lawfully protect myself in, because why would I want to go there?
Right.
Okay, but let's say you're passing through one of those states, and you're like me, you're following the law, you lock your firearms and ammunition unloaded separately in your trunk, and you do everything legal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If something happens to me in that state, the state has basically imposed upon me and taken away my lawful freedom to act in my own defense, correct?
Correct.
And so don't you think the state there then would have a duty to protect me?
Well, you and I would think that.
Don't you worry. There's Supreme Court cases after that that say, don't you worry about that. We'll tell you why we don't.
Ah, nice.
Yeah,
very comforting.
Every time you think that there's something that says, wait a minute, it says that right here. And this is where I call the black and white dictionary. Because you and I look at things and go, it's a cup. It has a circle, it holds liquid, it has a little handle, and it seems like the courts sometimes say, oh, no, that's not a cup. And you go, but it looks like a cup to me. And this is where we get black is white and white is black, because when you read these platitudes that they write, you think, well, gee, that's really great. Okay, this basically should solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it really doesn't.
Go ahead.
The bottom line is, about a year later, the United States Court of Appeals interpreted DeShaney in California. It's a case of Balestrieri, if I'm pronouncing the name right, the Pacific Police Department, and it's in 1990. And this woman was beaten and harassed by her estranged husband. And when the police didn't protect her, she said, hey, I've got a restraining order. So there's a special relationship between me and the Pacific Police Department. They were duty-bound to protect me because there's a restraining order against her husband.
Right.
The Court of Appeals said, no. The limited circumstances that would give rise to a special relationship in instances of custody, because no such custody exists, no, you guys have misinterpreted us. So the fact that I'm injured or hurt, not liable.
Oh, my goodness. See, and this too is where a lot of people get this idea, and this is where I've heard this said many times, that a restraining order is not worth the piece of paper it's written on. And I think this might be precisely why.
Oh, that's exactly. Well, even so, let's be honest, how many of us have been in areas where our cell phone service doesn't work?
Oh, yes.
A bazillion times.
Uh-huh.
And many people anymore, because of economic circumstances, say, wait a minute, why should I have a cell phone and a landline? I'll just have a cell phone, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have a landline. Or anybody in what I call robbery and bad people 101 learn that you can walk around an average house and in 5 minutes or less find where the phone line comes in and cut the wire.
Exactly.
And so there's just a million reasons. And on top of that, even if you live 5 minutes from the police department, what if it takes them a while to get there? What if? I mean, do you want to bet your life on that? And that's even if you're at home. What if you're like me? I wander the world all the time, go shopping, go to a cool restaurant or something. And if you ask me where I am, my GPS took me there, okay? I have no... The truth of the matter is, I punch in, you know, Joe Blow's restaurant, my GPS takes me there, and when I leave there, I might take a nice drive or wander the countryside or just do whatever, right?
Yeah.
So let's say if I'm stopped at a stop sign and something bad happens to me and they ask me where I am, I'm like, at the stop sign on my way back?
Yeah, right.
You know, I have no clue, because the other bottom line is, in New Hampshire, they're not really good about putting street signs in some areas.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. When I first moved here, I was like, holy crap, does this state not buy road signs?
Yeah, I like that. You come to an intersection. You're like, okay, what road am I on? Oh, well, there's a cross street. I know what that's named, but what road am I on? I don't know.
That's exactly right. And I used to stop and ask people when I went for drives, and people were like, everyone knows this is Smith Road. Well, no, everyone doesn't know this is Smith Road, okay?
Well, Attorney Penny Dean joining us here on Bulldog Live with Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop, 1575 Hooksett Road. That's the Daniel Webster Highway in Hooksett. You can reach them at 485-5000 and visit them at rileysguns.com. So, Penny, I think by looking at this, these various court rulings that there is no responsibility for the police to protect the individuals, now I start to put two and two together in my mind, as small as it may be sometimes. I look at it and say, gee, here's a governor walking around the state talking about these men and women who carry badges and guns that are protecting you. No, they're not really protecting me, individually, at least. Am I to draw a proper conclusion from that?
That's exactly right.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
That's exactly right. And here's the bottom line. Since they're not obligated to protect you individually, this collective good that they're protecting is really nice. But is that comforting to you when there's a man with a knife or a mob of men coming after you?
Right.
Yeah, and that's what I try and tell people all the time. And the bottom line is, and everyone says, well, at what point are they a mob? If I'm a little old lady and there's two of them, are they a mob? And the really sad answer I always have to give is the favorite lawyer answer. It depends. You know,
okay.
And it's always very, very fact-dependent. It's, is there a disparity of force? And this is where people have to learn to articulate and identify things. Can you articulate that disparity of force? Can you identify? It's the case where the guy has a jacket on and he takes his right hand and appears to be reaching under his arm. You know, you want to say to people, well, that's the area where a person would carry a firearm if they had a shoulder harness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, if they're reaching there and based on maybe
the cops have to make these decisions all the time, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's exactly right. We are basically having to make the same decision that cops make every day. The only difference is we don't have the power of the state to protect us, to defend us. We actually have usually the power of the state going against us, which is really very scary for the average person.
Right.
You know, it's a very intimidating situation. It's very scary.
And very costly, too.
And very, very costly. And I've had clients tell me they can't sleep, they can't eat, they can't think. And what bothers my clients the most, and this is very interesting to me, is I've had a lot of clients over the years who've been engineers or scientists or people who work in the physical realm. And the periodic table of the elements doesn't change. And when they ask you, okay, what's going to happen to me here? Here's what you have to answer. It depends. And the number one thing, in my opinion, if you talk to lawyers and say, you know, talk about a case, you know what the two first things they're going to ask you before they ask you the facts and stuff?
What?
Who's the judge? Who's the prosecutor?
Ooh.
And what that tells you to anyone who's willing to be honest, and no one likes to say these things out loud, is kind of like I'm the boy that, you know, said to everyone, the emperor's naked. He doesn't have any clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, shh, that boy. You know, that boy, shh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And so the bottom line is that it shouldn't be that way. It should truly be justice is blind. And there will be, you know, some lawyers who will rise hues and cry and say I'm wrong. But I think the ones who are going to tell the truth will say it absolutely matters who the judge is and who the prosecutor is to outcomes in certain cases.
Gotcha. Well, Attorney Penny Dean, I got to get going here, but I got to note that you're going to be speaking before the Dairy Fish and Game Club on September 23rd.
Oh, I am. I am.
At 7 p.m. This is great. What's going on there?
Well, you know, I'm going to go talk to them about self-defense and their rights. And a lot of people are very, very surprised because the shortness of a radio show doesn't let me to get into what I call the gritty details of a lot of things.
Right.
And when you have these question and answer sessions, people can ask a lot of questions, you know, in the companionship of their friends and neighbors, and they can have time for follow-up questions, and they can really try and understand why we need certain laws and how things work and what they should do and what they shouldn't do.
Very good. Well, Penny Dean, thank you very much. September 23rd, 7 p.m., Deering Fish and Game, open to the public. Gotta go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Riley Sports Shop, making Second Amendment Tuesdays possible right here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.